Amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with the Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, good morning, good morning. Let me let you know right up front, we hear you, okay? We hear you. It's growing pains. We're excited that our audience is growing, and we apologize that we are having so many technical difficulties. Know this, we are aware of them. I got emails yesterday from people saying, Coach, the YouTube's quit playing. Coach, it went out on Global Star. All we understand, we're having technical difficulties that we are aware of, and we're doing everything we can to try to clean those issues up. In fact, I have technical difficulties. I'm like right now, folks, I'm in Ohio. I'm hidden in an underground bunker, as Mark Levin would say, underground bunker out in the cornfields outside of Columbus, Ohio. Jared, our engineer, whatever title we would give to Jared, he's in Maine, the state of, that alone is unbelievable that we can communicate as quickly as we can. Jared is running this whole operation from his underground bunker someplace up by Bar Harbor, Maine. So we're aware of, you know, we're limited in many ways, folks, by the power of the internet. Now we're on the internet, but as some of you know, you have strong signals in some places and weak signals in others. And we're aware of an issue that's taking place up in Maine. The internet company's aware of it. There are several issues we're dealing with, but that's really one of the issues, is we're having transmission issues from Maine. So we're doing some upgrades. Please bear with us. We understand our problems, and we understand that the show sometimes is choppy, and we understand the frustration. But bear with us, because we're having an impact. I know we're having an impact. I'm excited to be with you here today. And like I said yesterday on the show, man, we go 1,000 different directions here. And I think that's one of the things that helps keeps our show fresh. We appreciate all those out there who help us help make the show what it is. Reminder, Saturday morning, we're going to be, Gary sent me an email today. Make sure don't forget that. We're going to be at in Orrville, Ohio, at Camp Luz. L-U-Z, Camp Luz. We're going to be there from noon until, from 10 until noon. Not a boot camp, but a rally, a Pass the Salt, Salt and Light Brigade rally. And the best solution would be each one bring one. Come on, man. If you're 2 hours away, drive and get there and be part of us and help us build this brigade here in Ohio. That's this Saturday. I'll just right off of Route 30 at Camp Luz in Orrville, Ohio. And of course, go to our website. A lot of good stuff on our website. We're going to go to Wisconsin here in a couple of weeks. We're going to go to Indianapolis in a couple of weeks, the next weekend. We have a lot going on here. A lot going on. Folks, I think we're at a crossroads. You know, say, Coach, you say that a lot. I do. I think we're at a real crossroads. Let me stop a minute. Sarge, anything I've forgotten? Anybody out there, anything I've forgotten? Any updates or anything that we need to get out? This is Thursday.
No. I think the Camp Luz is more like a lecture series, but you can turn it into a rally.
Well, same thing. It's a lecture series. It's an attempt to try to get more guys to join the brigade. Call that whatever you want. We're going to try to paint the picture, let them understand what's going on and why they're needed. I talk all the time about building a downline. That's one of the things we're trying to do, expand. We can have greater impact. guys, I was a Tea Party before there was a Tea Party. I'm just telling you, I've been doing this a while, okay? But my Tea Party is a spiritual one. It's we lead with the gospel. We lead with the cross. Everything emanates off of that. If you think we're going to change America through the political realm only, Man, oh man. Hillary's in big trouble. We may not know it yet. But I want you to, you may not see it yet. She's in big trouble. And it's really, really important to us, folks, from a theological standpoint. Say, Coach, that's kind of odd to say theological. Yeah, but it really is. There's an old adage I don't know if it's in Christianity or wherever. Whatever goes into the head goes throughout the body. Think about when you eat. Sorry for the frog this morning. Everything you eat goes into your mouth, and then it goes throughout the body. We're taught in Isaiah chapter 9, I believe it is, that unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. He shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Whatever goes into the head, Christ, goes into the body. Well, the same applies governmentally. Whatever goes into the head of our government is distributed out through the body. And the Clinton administration and that deep, dark cabal in Washington, D.C., call it whatever you want to, both Republicans and Democrats, okay? Here's one of the issues that we've been dealing with. So that I'm just going to try to clarify this for you. The reason we haven't gone anywhere with the Clinton investigation is because the Clinton Foundation is embedded in every area of politics in Washington, D.C. The Republicans are caught up in the Clinton Foundation. The Clinton Foundation, those running the Clinton Foundation were smart enough to divvy up their money everywhere so that everybody's fingers are dirty. And the reason the Republicans are fighting so hard, this is just my opinion, the reason the Republicans are fighting so hard against Donald Trump is because they don't want the swamp exposed either. Their hands are dirty. And when it comes down, you know when somebody shoots a gun, they do that test afterwards and they see the gunpowder on their hands. All those guys in Washington, D.C. know that when they have to put their hand under the infrared, there's going to be gunpowder on their hand from the Clinton, what they call that foundation. It's all connected. So what we see going on with Comey and Mueller and Russia. Remember, one of Zelensky's rules of radicals is simple. Accuse those of the same thing. Accuse your opponents of doing what you're doing. And so when this whole thing, that's right. So when this whole thing broke out and it was Russia at Donald Trump, understand this, please. They were trying to condition you to where you've heard enough of Russia. Ah, we're hearing about Russia. Because when Hillary comes out with Russia, people are going to say, oh, more of that Russia stuff. So they're pre-conditioning us. You understand? Do you understand what they're doing? And I'm going to tell you another one. And you can, folks, you can, I don't even care what you think of. I don't even care if you think I'm crazy. I don't even care if you think I have the biggest tinfoil hat going. Let me condition you with this. Harvey Weinstein is a pre-conditioning for what's going to come down in Hollywood, the preconditioning. Somewhere along the line, somebody figured out that Harvey Weinstein was, they could get rid of him. They could get rid of him. And so now they're trying to muddy Hollywood to look like it's all just, what do they call, misogyny and women abuse, when the deeper issue is the corruption and the pedophilia and all that stuff's going on. So they're giving us Hollywood. Why? Because there's more coming out from Hollywood and they're preconditioning us to say, oh, no, that didn't happen. No. So we watch what goes on in Las Vegas and see all the shootings that take place there. It's preconditioning. Please understand it's a preconditioning for what's coming. I don't know what's coming, but Las Vegas is a preconditioning for something else that is about to reveal. Remember this, there's nothing hidden that will not be revealed. Nothing. Everything Amen. Is being uncovered. Right now, it is all being uncovered. And they're doing Absolutely. Everything they can to precondition us. Guys.
Amen, Coach.
I don't know. How long ago was Las Vegas? I don't
two
even
weeks
how
ago.
Long been two weeks ago already?
Yep. Yeah.
Has anybody seen one FBI press conference?
Yeah, right. No chance.
Telling us what went on. Anybody. No we chance. See that well, sheriff. Right. They keep sending that sheriff out and telling us stuff, and he gets more nervous every time he comes out.
Because he kill him because he keeps messing up the story.
The story keeps changing, right? So, but listen, understand, it's part of the confusion. They are doing it to us on purpose. Okay. Folks, you got to understand this. You have to understand the game. It's the old bait and switch. It's the old bootleg. Keep your eye on the ball. They are masters at it. They know what is about to come out. They know.
Absolutely.
And they're trying to pre-condition. Think about the Russia thing. Just think about that. Russia, Trump, Russia. And what came out yesterday? Proof, without any shadow of a doubt, proof of collusion between Hillary, Bill, the Clinton Foundation, and Russia. Undeniable proof that the FBI knew about and that the CIA knew about. Undeniable proof.
Amen.
But why aren't people upset about it? Russia.
But they're preconditioned.
We're sick of hearing about it, okay? Okay? It goes on in every area of I'm gonna show you something here.
You got it.
So here's what I'm trying to get you to say. They could clear it all up. I'm talking about Las Vegas. They could clear it all up right now. Show us what they have, but they won't. Why? Because it's a psyop. A psyop. Now, I'm not talking about whether or not Las Vegas was true, whether it was fake. I'm not talking about any of that. I'm talking about the way it has been handled afterwards. It is a psychological operation. Same thing with Sandy Hook. I don't know if people were killed at Sandy Hook. I assume people were died at Sandy Hook. But to allow the confusion to be out there is a psychological operation. Go back to the Boston Marathon bombing. How little information we still know about what really happened in Boston, because it's a psychological operation to condition us to be constantly questioning and running down rabbit trails. Is this making sense? Are you guys following
perfect.
Me?
It's perfect sense. Okay. One thing you have to remember, Hollywood is a bloody swamp. I did a hashtag on it. Hollywood is a swamp. It's the medium for which all this filth continues.
That's the medium
that we have to get rid of.
Hey, Coach, don't forget about Obama either.
hang with me, okay? I got a long way to go in a short time to get there this morning. I'm trying to help you understand how the deep state is operating. We do know this, don't we, that all the same guys that own Hollywood own the media, own ABC, NBC, CBS, Disney. Disney's right in the middle of all of this, right? So we understand that all of our media is controlled media. All of it is, okay? And they could very easily clear things up. I don't watch TV. I spend my time, ask my wife, I ingest information. I'm an information sponge. And I read all kinds of stuff. I watch all types of videos. I see all the confusion that's out there. I see all the confusion. Now, I'm going to show you something else. You ready for another one? Jesus Campos, the guard. Remember, the story keeps changing. Was he shot before? Was he shot after? Was he a hero? Was he not a hero? The sheriff came out initially, said, oh, he's a hero. He saved a bunch of lives. Now we find out that that's not true. And Jesus Campos was going to go on Sean Hannity, and then he canceled just hours before it happened. He canceled other interviews, and then he went into hiding, and nobody knows where he was, and he pops up on Ellen DeGeneres. This pops up yesterday on the Ellen DeGeneres show. Now, why Ellen DeGeneres? Is that a news show? Why not on 60 Minutes? The psyop going on, boys and girls. And I didn't watch the whole interview with Jesus Campos yesterday, but I know this, that it was almost like Ellen wrote the script. Ellen asked the questions, thoughtful little questions that Jesus could answer. Nothing hard, nothing deep, nothing. And now the narrative is out there, is given to us by Jesus, and he'll never do another interview. That's my prediction. He will never do another interview.
Absolutely.
Because we heard Ellen tell us exactly what we heard the story from Ellen. Well, we heard it from Ellen, right?
The Ellen DeGeneres show is owned almost lock, stock, and barrel by one of those Las Vegas hotels, too.
Are you reading my notes, Larry? That's right. But I'm going to show you something that's even more mind-blowing over here. Let me find it, Jared. I sent Jared a bunch of my mind was going crazy today. Hey, Jared, let's go. No, that's not it. Coach, what do you want? Let's go right here. Jared, let's go to where it says the real Jesus Campos. I'm just going to put this up there, and then you decide for me. How long ago did this happen, Larry? Whoever sent me. How many days ago did Las Vegas happen?
Oh, 19 days ago.
Has it been 19 days?
It's been 19 days since right Sunday.
19 days. Okay, just click on that. Look at that.
October 1st.
October 1st. Yep. Now, look at this. You look at this. You tell me, what has this guy been, has he been living in a smorgasbord? Has Jesus Campos been eating nonstop? How many pounds do you think in 18 days, this picture on the right that you see of him with the glasses, both of those, that was the day he was honored as a hero. This is 10 days ago. And then look at what shows up on Ellen DeGeneres yesterday. Now, hey, somebody help me here. Are we being conditioned? Am I looking under rocks when I shouldn't be looking under rocks?
Well, that could have been his ID picture that maybe he had gotten.
Chad, it isn't. Before. Chad, it isn't his ID picture. It it's isn't his ID. I can show you, Chad, I can show you another. I knew somebody was going to say that. I can show you another picture. Jared, see if you can Google it. Somebody Google it. I can find it right now.
I'm
just
saying. I'm trying to give you the platform there, buddy.
Yeah. That's what they're going to say. Jared, see if you can find the picture of him when he's receiving the award for being such a great hero. It's somewhere in the Smiths. Cause scroll down there, Jared, and I'll find it. Say, bang, there it is. Hit it. There, Jared, the first one, right there. This is 10 days ago. Look at him. 10 days ago. Now, somebody tell me what's going on. Hey fellas.
It's a fat Bin Laden all over again.
Now, guys, if you were nervous, if you just lived through what he lived through, would you be eating or not eating? Would you have a greater appetite or less appetite? Would you be gaining weight or losing weight? 10 days! You got
Karen Carpenter.
Definitely Karen Carpenter.
Okay. So I'm not going to take it any farther than this. I saw somebody said, is that Jesus Campos? Is that him? Has he been whacked? Has he been whacked and now we got another one? I mean, I don't know. I don't know. I'm in 2 Timothy, Jared. Guys, it's all psyop. See, here's what they are doing. This whole system is designed to keep you off stride, confused. Now, people are going to run after, was this the real Jesus? Was it not the real? Now they're going to run down that bunny trail. They're going to run down that bunny trail. I don't know if you saw this or not. I don't know if you saw this, the show. When Ellen is interviewing Jesus, she brings up a diagram. She brings up a diagram. She does. Of the rooms and how they were set up. Ellen does this. So it was an unbelievably staged interview. I appreciate my wife. I'm in 2 Timothy chapter 3, Jared. And I'm in verse 12. My wife, God bless my wife, as I was walking down, she said, hey, read this. 2 Timothy, Jared, chapter 3, verse 12. Start with 11. Is Joe with us today? Do we have that deep old voice with us today? I don't see him. Yeah, he's there.
He's here.
Hey, Joe, he's there. Are you in there, Joe?
I can hear you.
Okay, hey, Joe. We hear you, brother.
Okay, all right.
Joe, start in verse 12. Because, fellas, we have to understand we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but principalities. We have got to realize how dark the dark side is. We do not have a great appreciation for how dark the dark side is. And in your own life, if you think about the goodness of God and how deep and how awesome and how vast the goodness of God is, the opposite of his goodness would be unspeakable evil. We cannot imagine the wiles and the schemes that the dark side is able to. Well, so what does Paul say here when he's writing to Timothy? Verse 12, I think it is, Joe.
Yea,
And all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution.
Shall. That's not a will. That's not a might. That's not a maybe. Shall suffer persecution. But here's where I'm going, Joe.
But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived.
Wow.
But
just stop right there, man. Just stop right there. Guys, there is the deep state. There's Hollywood. There's the media. There's fake news. There's Washington, D.C. There's everything that you could ever wonder about the other side is encapsulated in one sentence in the scripture. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. There it is. They're waxing worse and worse and worse and worse. Go ahead, Joe. Here's the solution to it.
But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them.
Wow, he's getting some truth. He says, remember all the truth that you've learned and where you learned it, he said.
And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works.
Thoroughly furnished unto passively sitting in the church, unto passively praying that good things will happen, or passively praying they be furnished to all good works. So, brothers, the battle's raging before us, the good against the bad, the right against the wrong, the evil against the good. And the only element that's missing is the good. We are letting these evil men wax worse and worse. There is almost zero pushback from the church. If you listen to this show regularly, or if you just tune in today for the first time, understand this is what's going on. And that what's happening is, I believe, is an awakening in what we call the remnant. The remnant. Those of us who truly see and understand. Hey, boys. I couldn't go back to my old life no matter what. I couldn't do it. They could bring a truckload of Budweiser in here and set up 15 big screen TVs with every football game ever on, and they could put them all down here in my, okay, I can't go back. I can't go back and do that. I can't unsee what I've seen. So then it's the question then comes to me, Coach, what are you going to do with what you've seen? What are you going to do? Serge, what are you going to do with what you've seen? What are you going to do, Dale, with what you see? What are you going to do, Glenn? What are you going to do, John? Joe? Kevin, what are you going to do with what you've seen? That's what is put before us. Can I show you something? Jared, keep going to 2 Timothy 4. Because remember, no chapters. Paul's writing a letter. There ain't no chapters. So he just talks about unto all good works. So then he says, okay, Joe, go ahead and read that. Hey, Joe, remember, there was no stop. It was one continuous thought. Evil men shall wax worse and worse and worse. It's all going to go on. It's going to get worse and worse and worse. It says that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly finished unto all good works. Then the next sentence is just a continuation. And this is the next sentence. It's not a new paragraph. It's not a new chapter. It's the next sentence over what? That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Boom! Go, Joe.
I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom.
Wow.
Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts, shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears.
They have itching ears out of their own lust. They're looking for Joel Osteen's of the world. They got itchy ears. They want guys going to scratch their ears, make them feel. Do you ever have one of the dogs? We used to have a dog that get those ear infections. Pardon me why I show you this. I don't know if this ever happened to you. Dog get an ear infection. And he'd sit around and he'd go. Anybody ever have a dog that did that? That's the American church. Make my ear feel better. Keep going, Joe.
And they shall turn their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables, unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry.
Okay, you can stop right there. That's our challenge, fellas. We see what's going on. There's the challenge. This isn't a new chapter. This is it's a continuation of the thought. He says, you see what's going on? Now the time, baby, stand up, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. Because the time's going to come when they're not going to endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts, they're going to heap up to themselves teachers having itchy ears, and they're going to turn away from the truth, and they're going to turn into fables. But watch you in all things, endure the afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of your ministry. This isn't written to pastors. Is written to people. You have a ministry. You say, well, coach, you're the one that has the ministry, past the salt ministry. Oh, you have a ministry. Should have. 11:731. Are you kidding me? Somebody jump in here. Calm me down or pump me up.
No, brother, that right there, what you said, you know, I hear people say that all the time. That's not my calling. That's not my ministry right there. Yeah. You just read it. Do the work of an evangelist and pass the salt ministry. Anybody who's on the cube and anybody who's listening, Matthew 5:14, you are the salt and the light of the world. You are.
Not your pastor, not your pastor, not your church choir. Not the church elder board, all right. Not the ushers.
You can no longer. Now, this is what I tell the people in my church. I tell them, you realize that there's pastors, teachers, preachers, evangelists, and apostles to equip the saints to do the work of the ministry. And I tell them, being in lightheartedness, I said, you pay me to get you to do the work. And I said, you really don't pay me, but you're still supposed to do the work.
Right. Amen. Let the pastor do it. Dale's a professional Christian. Let's turn it all over to the professional. No, that's not the way it works.
It's the abdication of responsibility, just like allowing the Federal Reserve to take care of our money. First, I didn't hire them, so, you know, just to make that point.
Let me show you a couple things here, guys. Jared, let's click on. I just want to show you three things that are just the signs. See, while we're watching Las Vegas and Jesus Campos and Ellen DeGeneres, while all this confusion, remember that Satan is the author of confusion. While all this stuff's going on, there's stuff going on right in our local communities. We're not doing a daggone thing about it. We're not even aware of it. Let me show you one. Hey, Jared, pull up. Let's see here, Jared. Let's go to the satanic drag queen. Maybe some of you have seen it. Maybe not. Maybe not. Prophecy in the news. October. Michelle Obama Neighborhood Library has a satanic drag queen read to the children. Look at that. Public schools. Public schools has a satanic drag queen reading to the children. It says on Saturday, drag performer Hochi Mochi was featured as a guest reader to children as part of the Drag Queen Story Hour. Drag Queen Story Hour is a program implemented at the Michelle Obama Neighborhood Library in Long Beach, California. Mochi addresses the children in a full horned headdress, complete with demonic style. Now, I'm not going to read the rest of it. The average Christian, the average church would see this. What would they say? Oh, we need to pray for her. We need to pray
for her. Burn it down. please.
Huh? We need to pray for him. Pray she'll get saved. Pray all. Try to get in there and read Bible stories. Try to see if you can get in there and read Bible stories. Oh, by the way, Snopes checked this. It's true. The only thing Snopes said about it that wasn't true is there was no evidence that she was demonic or satanic.
But oh, no evidence. No evidence. Ignore your lying eyes, Dave.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Can I give you another one? Sure, I can. Well, Jared, let's click on remove Trump trees. Guys, this is going on around us. We cannot take our eye off the ball. We cannot be deceived. This supposedly November 4th, there's going to be a nationwide protest against whatever, the same people protesting. Now, I found this Refuse Fascism Faith Task Force. We got a priest standing in front of us, okay? I don't know this. I would say Right Wing Watch, he's probably a sodomite. You figure out for yourself after you listen to this. But I want you to see, we have people, this guy is masquerading as a servant of the Lord. He's masquerading as a servant of the Lord. And because we've been taught to honor guys, our leaders, honor your pastors, guys like this pop up and people follow them. In fact, he'll probably show up at some point here on MSNBC or CNN. They'll probably give him an interview to try to explain how all of we fundamental Christians are missing the mark. Now, I want you to listen to this. This is a minute, 30 seconds about an event coming up on November 4th. Go ahead, Jared. Man of the cloth.
I'm the priest here at the Church of the Epiphany in Los Angeles. We all know what has been happening to our nation since this Trump-Pence regime took office in January. There's been an increase in violence, an increase in hatred, an increase in injustice, and they are systematically despoiling our environment, our financial system, and victimizing the poor day after day after day. There is only one way. There is only one way for us to bring justice and bring tolerance back to our national life, and that is for us to protest, to hit the streets, and to demand the removal of this regime this coming November 4th. We are all coming out into the streets, people of faith, people of conscience, and we are going to stay there until this regime is removed. So I'm asking you to join with me as a matter of conscience to help bring our national life back to a life of justice, to the highest ideals on which this nation was founded. Come with me November 4th. I'll be there, and so should you.
Bless you, Father. Bless you, Father, for I have sinned. You believe this? You believe this? You believe it? See, we don't want to...
Is that Jim Carrey's brother? He's a real comedian.
Yeah, I wish he was. I wish it wasn't real. See, they'll come out. They'll come out.
Maybe half
whatever they are, but we won't. Yes, sir.
Maybe half of his congregation would be deported.
Yeah, I got to be careful what I would say, but I'm not going to. So listen, I'm trying to connect a dot here, okay? Let me do one more thing. What time is it? 7? Yeah, I can pull this in here. Jared, it's a 5-minute one, Jared. Schools on mind control. Guys, I hate to keep coming back to the schools, but it's important that we understand what's happening to us, that this is not happening in a vacuum. This lying and this confusion is not happening in a vacuum, that the enemy has embedded itself in every one of our institutions, and they are in control of the institutions. This is a 5-minute video on public schools and indoctrination. Go ahead, Jared.
School is an 18-year forced government training program that sterilizes the potential for brilliance in children, those who actually survive schooling and survive conformity and continue on to think for themselves truly are a rare breed. All children start out as curious, highly experimental minds, and then one day they're sent to school. mandatory schooling has never consisted of anything but the memorization of monotonous dead facts and training children to master repetitious behavior. For the greater part of their day, everything the child says must match the interest of their school teachers. Their behavior must coincide with a set policy and a set regulation. They cannot use the bathrooms without permission. If they wish to speak, they must raise their hands. And after every hour or so, a bell rings and everyone must move to it. It couldn't be any more slave-like. And this type of training becomes a ritual for the child. It becomes the plot background for their television shows and books, or the ideology taught to them by a teacher or a parent. An entire monoculture is being developed here, stripping children of their power to cause trouble for the state at an early age, training them to be good servants of the politically correct. Their environment is much like a prison, by the population lacking any ability to check the authority of the warden. The process becomes a matter of rubber stamping. They have no control over their entire lives, which is directly related to youth violence, because the only control they have is between each other. Mandatory schooling produces children who are either terrified of the tyranny of others or have been raised to perpetually exploit the conditions of others. It's just like the prison system. Forced cohabitation. The child's presence in certain buildings and their engagement in state-regulated behavior is under penalty of imprisonment. An entire army of truancy officers have been hired to make sure that no child is on the other side of the bars. At the end of 18 years of coercive state authority, the child is released into the world. It's like the end of an 18-year prison sentence. Now that you're trained to do as you're told, now you can be free. And the produce of these schools, or this state-controlled manufacturing operation, is a society willing to submit, to obey, and to listen. Forced behavior, which technically amounts to a type of slavery, will only inculcate a mindset of fear and terror. You need to be somewhere at a set time, either at the orders of an authority or a bell. Everyone in one mass shifts to another position or another place to engage in a new activity. They're trained to not only follow instruction, but they're also trained to follow a certain behavior. Rules, regulations, and laws are set for the children. They say you cannot do this to others. You can do this to others. This is acceptable. This is not acceptable. Standards of culture, morality, and behavior are imprinted into these new young minds that are in the blossoming stages of development. Their minds are being intercepted by the state and molded to conform to state standards. The first lesson they teach you is the orders of authority. The second lesson is to work with each other to achieve the desired ends of those in control. If a group of children are taught to engage in the same behavior regardless of what they want to do, then they will never fight back as adults. And this is your group of tenants who will live in roaches and never call the health inspector. This is your group of citizens who is easily terrified by police officers into voluntarily giving up their rights. This is your group of workers who surrender their lives to the corporation, who tells them how to dress, how to speak, what time to wake up, which means they essentially tell you what time to go to sleep if they tell you what time to wake up. This is nothing new. These are the fruits of mandatory schooling. If we look into the roots of 19th century industrialism, the Civil War demonstrated to industrialists and financiers how a standardized population trained to follow orders without significant thought could be made to function as a money tree. It's no surprise that global power and corporate wealth is based on a third-rate educational system that works against developing individuals of true character and true intellect. Because the mindless bureaucrat or the thoughtless worker who will follow a system without question is the pattern that our system depends on. And this is what school produces. The system is not designed to educate the public, which is why federal and state bureaucracies call the shots, not the parents, not the local school boards. Every law is harshly enforced with maximum punishments. The tone of a principal is much like the tone of a warden, with no check on his authority. They will always have a way of using coercive ability to enforce a standard on the population. Strict punishment awaits any kid who disobeys this ruling force, and there is no doubt that an active student body reflects positively on school administrators. It's like factory floor men. They're fulfilling their quotas to the inspecting superintendent of the local school district. This is the reality of government training. The state doesn't care if children are homeless or on the streets or suffering from malnutrition and hunger, but the second the child fails to appear in school at the scheduled time, like a court date, the police are alerted. Until we abolish mandatory schooling, your child will be brought up as a slave so that he can accept becoming a slave later in life in adulthood.
Boy. What do you think? That seems radical, doesn't it? But it's absolutely the truth.
Exactly.
Obey authority. I wrote a commentary today. I haven't said much about it, and I'm not going to read it. to the deplorables are digging in. It's amazing to me. I don't know if you guys have put this together in your mind. The deplorables, the old folks like me, we were the hippies. I wasn't a hippie. I wasn't, but my generation were hippies. Tune in, turn on, drop out, resist authority. What were all the slogans? The feels good, do it. All of that. Those people are now grandparents. They're now grandparents. So the rebellion that was planted in the hearts of those of the hippie generation is now surfacing again as deplorable. They're now looking back over their life and they're seeing what all has been lost and how they've been programmed, and they were fighting against the system. And now they look up and they have this new system that they were fighting for when they were teenagers and when they were in college. And all of a sudden they say, oh my God, that's not what it was. That wasn't what it's about. And so now they are waking up and they're beginning to push back. But here's the problem that we're facing. How many years we got? 20 years? The deplorables? How many years? I'm 60. I'll be 65 here in a couple and soon. 20 years? Am I going to be fighting at 85? Are they going to throw me in some nursing home? The battle's now, guys. The battle's now for us. It is right now. And that's why the deplorables are digging in, see? They're digging in. And they're trying to salvage what they believe we've lost. Okay, so jump in here real quick if you want. I got 15 minutes. I got a couple things I want to cover with here. Jared, pull up high crimes. Anybody want to say anything?
I agree that the deplorables are starting to wake up, and they don't trust their government as far as they can throw them, and they're going to put their feet to the fire locally, starting locally, then state level, and then federal.
Fellas, trust me. We have to put Hillary in jail. We have to put Hillary Clinton in jail. We have to.
Amen, Coach.
Amen. Remember what flows through the head flows through the body? We have to put Hillary. If Hillary Clinton does not go to jail, our government is meaningless. It has nothing. Right. Now, I looked up today. I went to, what is the name of this website? Constitution.org. The meaning of high crimes and misdemeanors. And I also find it interesting that the term high crime is the same word that say we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but principalities and powers in high places. High places. High places of authority. So a high crime and a misdemeanor is what? A crime committed by a person in high places. Here's, let me read this real quickly. How can I get rid of these folks over here on my side? Because it's blocking, Jared. Let's see. Maybe if I do this, that won't help. Probably someplace I can reduce it. The question of impeachment turns on the, I don't want to take all the time to read this. I don't want to take all the time.
Dave?
Yes.
Dave?
Yes, Raj. Yes.
I'll piggyback off as you're looking for it. There's an organization which I think is pretty solid called Judicial Watch.
Right.
And I believe we obviously our school system is a tantamount to a sinking ship, if not sunk. But as an attorney who works in the legal system, I can't stress to people enough, if the confidence is lost in the legal system, whether we like it or not right now, where people are selectively prosecuted, it will make the educational problem pale in comparison.
True.
Once you lose faith in that, and if you go to the Judicial Watch site and Facebook them, it's in trouble. This is a good organization, biblically based, and the court system, as you and I know it, is compromised. But as they know it, and the Department of Justice, we're in a real deep problem here. People do not get prosecuted. People do not
Roger, I couldn't agree with you more. That bottom line of that vein of looking at things, and bottom line of all of it is Jesus Christ and people being obedient to his leadings, and so that what God wants done can get happen. But anyway.
Larry just got knocked off for some reason.
Can I throw in real fast?
Go ahead.
It's very simple, brother. Yeah, these people, they commit these crimes, and they commit these crimes, and they get away with it.
With impunity.
A purse snatcher gets thrown in jail, and he suffers, and he has to pay a full penalty. A guy robs 1,000 people, say by Enron, and they get nothing. They get a fine. They pay the fine with the proceeds of their crime. why would they learn a lesson from that? And all they know is, I can get away with it. I do more, bigger and bigger crimes.
Okay. So we have to get them. So Vince, the meaning of high crimes and misdemeanors, is this up on the screen, Jared? Yes, it is. Click on this, folks. This is Constitution. What's the name of the website? Constitution.org. What's the question of impeachment turns on the meaning of the phrase in the Constitution, Article 2, Section 4, treason, bribery, or other high crimes and misdemeanors. And its meaning to the framers and found that the key to understanding it is the word high. It does not mean more serious. It refers to those punishable offenses that only apply to high persons, that is to public officials, those who, because of their official status, are under special obligations that ordinary persons are not under and which could not be meaningfully applied or justly punished if committed by an ordinary person. Under the English law, common law tradition, crimes were defined through a legacy of court proceedings and decisions that punished offenses, not because they were punished by statutes, but because they offended the sense of justice of the people. And whether an offense could qualify as a punishable depended largely on the obligations of the offender, and the obligations of a person holding a high position meant that some actions or inactions could be punishable if he did them, even though they would not, under a normal circumstance, be a crime. Offenses of this kind survive today in the Uniform Code of Military Justice. It recognizes as punishable offenses such things as perjury of oath, refusal to obey orders, abuse of authority, dereliction of duty, failure to supervise, moral turpitude, and conduct unbecoming. These would not be offenses if committed by a civilian with no official position, but they are offenses which bear on the subject's fitness for the job he holds, which is bound by an oath or affirmation to perform. Perjury is defined as lying under oath. That's not quite right. The original meaning was violation of one's oath. The word perjury is usually defined today as lying under oath about a material matter, but that is not its original or complete meaning, which is violation of an oath. And it goes down and down and down and down and down. So God hates injustice. Lady Liberty, then scales are balanced. If there is not more swift punishment for those in high offices, then our system becomes a joke. Guys and girls, it is critical Hillary Clinton go to jail. Somebody jump in here.
Absolutely. Absolutely. She has to go to jail. She has to go to jail. There's a death list following her. You know, as we know right now, there are no bodies attributed to Donald John Trump. Meanwhile, we have double-digit bodies attributed to the pantsuit war pig. So why is it that we're allowing her to get away with this?
Well, why did Richard Nixon have to resign? Does anybody remember? Why did he resign?
That's a good question. I'm still wondering, because what we know is not true.
Well, he lied under oath, what they said. He lied. Bill Clinton lied under oath, didn't he? I did not have sex with that woman. Didn't Bill Clinton lie under oath?
Bill Clinton did.
Yeah, yeah. And yeah. Would you get away with it? Would you get away with it? Roger's an attorney. Roger, if you go before the court and you lie to the judge, they okay with that, Roger?
I feel pretty confident they would take my license for a while.
Yeah, but the judge could lie. The judge can lie and cheat. He can get away with it, right? I don't know if you guys get it or not. I don't know if you understand how critical this is from a spiritual standpoint, that those in high places, when they violate their oath, must be punished. It must be punished.
Amen.
It doesn't have anything to do with that, how much I hate Hillary Clinton. It doesn't have anything to do with that. By the way, Roger, I ought to get this thing to you about let you read down through this, because this is a couple more pages. This is unbelievable. The president says, I do solemnly swear that I will faithfully execute the office of President of the United States will, the best of my ability, preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States. If he does not do that, he has to be removed. Yes, Rog.
Well, no, it has nothing to do with Hillary. Once the common folks realize that the rich are handled differently in the court
system, that's right,
it's over. They right. will freeze.
Because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will wax cold, and we're seeing it. We're seeing it. That's why people are out in the streets. There's no justice. They don't understand what they're looking for. They can't put a finger on it, but there is no justice. Okay, I want to finish up here with just a video. Just for all of the right wing watching, all you listen. I despise Hillary. I despise it. Okay? But it ain't personal. It ain't personal. My children, why did they have public lynchings? Why did we have public lynchings back in the day? Because we wanted to show our children, this is what happens to you if you violate the law. The way we did public lynchings, and the way we did tar and feathers, the way we did pitchforks and torches, was to show those who were following, you can't get away with this. You can't get away with this. Now I'm going to play about a 4-minute clip here of Judge Andrew Napolitano. Think what you want to. Think what you want to about him. I don't care what you think. He's biased. He's on Fox News, yada, yada, yada. Listen to what Judge Napolitano says right here. Go ahead and play that, Jared. About 5 minutes. Hillary in trouble. I'm sorry. Yeah, Hillary in trouble. Jared's getting the thing queued up here, folks. Hang with us a second.
Well, he's getting that. Can I mention the last good hanging we had was Leo Frank, who tried to gull the public into believing two black men raped and killed little Mary Fagan.
Right. Remember
we
that.
We got justice, right, didn't we?
We got justice. We want justice. Justice pleases the Lord. It's not revenge. Justice pleases the Lord. I think Jared's got it ready.
Now we're going to pull an old chestnut out of the fire. Hillary Clinton still has an email problem. The latest revelation concerns her assistant, Huma Abedin. Her husband, Aunt Iwina. He had 2,800 emails on his computer that came from Huma Abedin, Hillary's assistant. Round and round it goes. Who better to pass judgment than Judge Andrew Napolitano? What's the give me the big picture. The significance, please.
The significance is an FBI acknowledgement that Huma Abedin, Mrs. Anthony Weiner, when she had a top security clearance as the number two assistant to Hillary Clinton when Hillary was Secretary of State, regularly sent copies of sensitive material to her own laptop so she could look at it at night, either knowing or forgetting that her husband had access to it as well. But we know of her husband's fate and his jail sentence, right, which has nothing to do with this. It has to do with inappropriate and criminal personal behavior. But this yet again shows the culture in the Hillary Clinton State Department of a cavalier attitude about the handling of government secrets. It also shows the FBI awareness of it. It also shows the president's frustration with it when in a tweet this morning he said, there she goes again, crooked Hillary, Jim Comey let her off the hook again. Something I profoundly agree with him on. He should pick up the phone and call General Kelly and say, I want you to call Jeff Sessions and Rod Rosenstein. Rosenstein's the number two person in the Justice Department. Tell them to reopen this case and go wherever the evidence takes them. I'm not saying she should be indicted. Go where the evidence takes them. The evidence will take them to an indictment.
An indictment of Hillary Clinton?
Yes.
For breaking the law by putting classified material onto an email to Huma?
Yes, and Huma will be a witness against her. That's the way the Justice Department works. They are not bound by the ill-advised, politically motivated decision that James Comey made in the summer of, in July of 2016, not to seek her indictment.
I thought it had all gone away.
So did I. So did we all thought it had gone away. But here's how it came out. In a Freedom of Information Act request by our friends at Judicial Watch, and the FBI coughed it up. And the Freedom Watch lawyers are looking at it and saying, we never saw these emails before. They were not part of the original trove of emails that were released. These are yet more Hillary Clinton emails that we never saw, that she swore under oath three times she had surrendered to the government when apparently she hadn't.
I can't resist bringing Herman into this.
Okay, you can stop right there.
Patiently.
So there it is. There, this is before the Clinton Foundation and all the Russian stuff that they got going on. It's all before that. It's all before that. So there it is. It's a crime. Now, well, this is so deep and nefarious. And it's why the deep state hates Donald Trump so much, because he's trying to expose all of this. By the way, I got to throw this in before we close out. Just getting a text here. Right Wing Watch made me look like a fool again yesterday. They make a habit of trying to do that. I didn't actually read it, but talked about the statement I made about interracial marriage yesterday. It was in yesterday's show, I think it was. And if you listen to that show yesterday, you got to get it all in context. So, fellas, we are in a war. They're in a war of lies and twisting and deception and deceit. What was it? Evil men shall wax worse and worse. Is that what it says here? Where was that, Joe? But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Brothers, we are in the midst of a war like we ain't ever seen. And the Lord God demands justice. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.